I'm Mark Bayshore at the top of our program here today. As we've been reporting this week, the Capital Area Transportation Authority, CATA, has recently offered alternative plans for a proposed bus rapid transit system that would run from the state capitol in Lansing to Meridian Township. The agency and the plan supporters say such a transit model would provide faster bus service to its customers and spur economic development along Grand River and Michigan Avenues. There's been plenty of opposition, though, to the plan, much from business owners who say the BRT would make it physically more difficult for customers to access their shops. Yesterday on this program, we heard from one of them, Ingham County Circuit Judge Bill Collette, who's also a member of the group Stop CATA's BRT. Today we hear from a top official at CATA. Debbie Alexander is the agency's assistant executive director. She joins me now in the studio to talk about the finer points of the revised BRT plan and the way ahead. Deb, welcome back.
Thank you.
CATA just wrapped up a series of three public forums on the BRT revised plans. They were held in Lansing, East Lansing, and Meridian Township. What's been the outcome of those three gatherings, and describe the atmosphere at these?
You bet. So we had a very nice turnout at each meeting, over 100 people at each meeting to look at. I want to clarify, these are not alternatives. These are ideas that we could explore further to address some of the concerns that have been raised by the community. So some of them are just segment-based. They're not for the entire corridor, including near the area where the businesses are concerned about access.
Okay. And the atmosphere at these meetings, generally good, generally rough going, what?
I would say that the atmosphere was very engaged. There are passions on both sides of this issue, and so that was demonstrated in the meeting.
Talk to go a little bit deeper with us on the kinds of alternatives that you've put on the table here.
So again, I'll stress they're not alternatives. They're segment-based decisions. So for example, we put on an idea that could go into any alignment, which is a revised access to Frandor. The community did express a very strong desire to continue to go closer into that property. So that's one idea. Another idea is whether or not we would use dedicated lanes to access the stops in the Meridian Township area, and there are a variety of ways to do that.
Do you have a particular favorite iteration of this?
My favorite is what we have in place today. It's the current plan.
The original. Okay.
And the reason it's my favorite is because not only it accomplishes the goals of the region, the region is looking to grow this main street. It has a vision to become a world-class city and community. And in order to do that, we have to have infrastructure that allows for more population, jobs, and housing growth. The only way to do that is to, because we're in a built environment, we can't just expand our roadway out of this. And the way to do that is to separate the buses from the auto, which gives both of them improved travel time.
Well, Bill Collette is one of the BRT's harshest critics. He was our guest here yesterday. He alleged, getting back to the meetings that took place this week, he alleged yesterday here on Current State that CATA put the clamps on people attending some of these meetings. Let's hear that part of the exchange, and then you can have the floor. Here's Bill Collette.
So Tuesday, they put the clamps on everybody who disliked this plan. And I must say,
what does that mean? What does that mean?
That
they
means
put the
people.
Clamps
well,
on
that
you.
Means like people who wrote out questions. They picked the questions they wanted to answer. You could see the moderator thumbing through them, looking for favorable questions. She didn't do a lot of the questions that a lot of us asked, and they did the ones they wanted. Plus, the answers were incredible. So, with all due respect to these gentlemen who came to give us these speeches, it was insulting.
What do you make of that? I mean, this gets back to some of the heat that you've taken at some of these public gatherings, that they're stage-managed, manipulative, questions don't get answered. People have got doubts about the process. What do you take from all of that? How are you responding to
that's
that?
Clearly not the case. The moderator in this case was seeing questions that were identical. There were several questions related to bike infrastructure. And so instead of repeating questions that were had the exact same answers, she indicated, I have a number of questions here regarding bike and bike incorporation in the project. And so she was looking for them to sort through ones that were similar. So we did not dismiss anyone's questions. I will say that we are providing accurate answers to the questions that are being asked of us, and we're being completely transparent with those results.
What is the most perplexing perplexing bit of resistance for you that you've gotten from these three meetings?
I think the most perplexing issue is that there are members of the community who don't believe that there are critical provisions being provided by public transportation, and that public transportation really is going to be an increasing mode of choice into the future. So there are questions.
People doubt that.
Even though you don't have to turn on your TV more than a short amount of time without hearing the impacts of the next generation, both from the baby boomer generation's dependence on stop driving, as well as the millennials' desire to live in a more urban core.
We're talking about the proposed plans to create a bus rapid transit system in the Lansing area. It would provide faster bus service along the Michigan Avenue, Grand River Avenue corridor, according to proponents like our guest, Deb Alexander, the Assistant Executive Director of the Capital Area Transportation Authority. Let's get into this business of left turns. Critics say that the BRT would make it harder to make left turns off the main roads and into business parking lots. In Meridian Township, there's been a particular amount of resistance about this.
That's correct. So we would be installing medians, and with the dedicated BRT lanes being in the middle, there would be a restriction to only right in and right out of mid-block driveways, which means that you'd need to go to the next light, signalized intersection. We are also proposing to add signalized intersections so that those distances are somewhere between a quarter and a third of a mile apart. So it would be similar to what you're experiencing in East Lansing. East Lansing has very robust medians, and they have these same exact conditions where we have signalized crossings to go from the south side of the road to the north side.
Critics have said that it doesn't, the layout doesn't allow enough room for delivery trucks and even more urgently, emergency vehicles.
Mm-hmm. So it is illegal for trucks to stop and unload in the roadway today. That is going to be, East Lansing particularly has told us that it is against the law and they need to do a better job of enforcement, but now they have the capacity to allow it. The emergency vehicles, we did meet with the City of Lansing, City of East Lansing, and Meridian Township emergency response teams to learn more about their business and how they actually determine the fastest way to get to an emergency. We discussed with them a variety of ways in which other projects like this have provided access across the medians for emergency response, and opened a dialogue that we plan to continue.
Bill Collette yesterday questioned made the point that Grand River and Michigan Avenue are already pretty robustly commercial. And one of the selling points for the BRT has been, hey, this would enhance economic development. His point seemed to be that where are all these new businesses going to go? There's already thriving businesses on the corridor here. Mm-hmm. It was a unique point. I'd like to hear what you think about that.
So economic development is a broad development scheme. It's more than just existing businesses. It's homes, population drawing, employment, and bigger employment. If you look along the corridor, there are opportunities for development and redevelopment that need to occur. And again, this is not just as CATA's view of the project. It's also the regional leaders who have said that we want a world-class region that will prosper and be sustainable.
See, that gets confusing, though, to me, because you've got isolated leaders like Mayor Bernero, I believe, who I think is a supporter of this. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. But you've got a lot of institutional resistance as well. You got Meridian Township, who's come out against it. Michigan State seems pretty clearly opposed to the idea. The Chamber. That can't be good. You've got institutional resistance you've got to overcome here.
Well, I think it's important to really look at what was communicated to us by all of those organizations. Meridian Township's resolution specifically says that we are opposed to the project in its current condition. Same with the Chamber of Commerce. They actually are a proponent of the Capital to Campus BRT solution. So I think it's important to look at that. Michigan State University has not sent us a letter that says they're opposed to the project. They say, please take great consideration to making sure that we improve pedestrian access and pedestrian crossings, which we are taking seriously and have done a great deal of research to quantify and identify what needs to be done.
These groups, though, that have come out in opposition, do you feel like you're making progress changing minds here?
We're working towards that by looking at various alternatives.
You insist that the BRT plan is only about 30% complete. You need more buy-in at this stage, I take it. And is one of your advantages here the opportunity to make the kinds of changes that you've put on the table?
It's not, 30% design is a long way from being completed. And these ideas that we're searching for and looking at and brainstorming provide us with tools in which we can consider as we move further down the project into development and design.
I mean, Judge Collette called on your agency to be audited here yesterday, and he made quite a case for that. Before we get to that, though, let me just ask you about what's next in this process. These three meetings are now behind us. What lay ahead here in the near future regarding this discussion and these plans?
CAT is following a very strict prescription that's laid out for us in regulatory law about how projects like this are to be followed. We are currently at a phase called the environmental clearance process. We have sent our environmental documents to the FTA for review and comment. We expect to get their comments back short time, and then we'll be responding to them and modifying the document. That document will eventually be made public for the community to comment on.
In Sunday's Lansing State Journal, somebody, the name eludes me right now, said that there ought to be a public vote about this thing because there's so much resistance to it. Does clarify this for us. Does CATA have the authority to make this happen, or could government on any level step in and basically put the kibosh on this?
CATA's board of directors is made up of leaders from the five jurisdictions, the two cities and the three townships in the urban area. They are the direct grant recipient for any federal funds and would be the decision-making body. We don't take lightly, though, the importance of having community buy-in and certainly road owner buy-in on the project. CATA does not approach projects like this without working towards a coalition building and agreement.
Judge Collette is calling on CATA to be audited. He told us that CATA has been overly generous with pay incentives. He says some employees were paid up to 6 weeks worth of bonus just for showing up to work. He questions what he describes as a rainy day fund. Allow me to subject you to one more comment from Mr. Collette.
As of their financial year of 2015, they had $32 million in a, I guess they call it a rainy day fund. I'm assuming it's bigger now.
Is he right? Does CATA have a rainy day fund? And what is that fund for? Do you need that?
We do have a cash and invested fund. That funding is used to sustain our operation going forward. As you may not be aware, since 1981, when we levied our first millage, we have only increased our millage three times in that period of time. And as a result of being able to manage the resources that we're getting and extend them into the future.
Are you open to an audit?
CATA gets audited by the federal government every 3 years. It is a standing protocol, not just for CATA, but for all transit systems across the country. We just completed an audit about a year and a half ago, and we came through that audit with absolutely no findings.
Okay. We have been talking about the potential benefits and the public criticism of the proposed bus rapid transit system that's being brought forth by the Capital Area Transportation Authority. Deb Alexander is CATA's Assistant Executive Director. She's part of the team leading the BRT effort. She is retiring from CATA come January after 35 years of service. Deb, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you.